Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to yet another exciting edition of The Thought Police. Kevin O'Sullivan is here with me. I'm Mike Graham. Kevin's actually away on holiday as you listen to this, so we're going to talk about some of the holiday stories that we've had, Kevin. But we should also start the show off as we ended the last one, which is, of course, with messages from the good listeners.
Some greetings to some of our listeners.
I think this is probably the first time I've ever done anything like this where people actually want us to fucking swear at them.
Who's ever done anything like this?
They're a fucking collection of total cunts.
It's quite extraordinary. Cunts who want to be called cunts.
And here's one, and this is Big Perps, he puts his name as. He says, Mike, I've listened since the morning show on TalkSport, the overnights, all the podcasts, YouTube, etc. A massive fuck you, Rob, from you and the legend TV Kev would make my life complete.
Fuck you, Rob. Cunt.
Brilliant. And David says, hey, loving the effing podcast, can I request a fuck you, cunt, to me and my partner, Jen, for your next episode? This is David and Jen.
So David, fuck you, you cunt, and Jen, fuck you too.
Bollocks to you. Anyway, let's get on with the show, because at the moment we are sitting in separate places because you've gone on holiday. I haven't yet gone on holiday because I haven't worked out where the fuck I can go. We're still trying to figure out what the hell the government's doing, because I may well go somewhere. But the worry I've got is if I end up travelling to some far-flung part of Europe, suddenly it gets put on the fucking red list and suddenly I have to quarantine. I don't want to quarantine when I come back. Also, I don't really like the idea, I don't know about you, of getting on a plane and just being pushed around like a fucking piece of cattle and told, sit there, put that, wear that mask, eat this food, take the mask off, put it back on, wait in this fucking queue, get a test, stick something up your nose. You know what I mean? It's not
that.
For me.
That's why, as you listen to this podcast, I will be in glamorous Devon.
Lovely.
Staycation for 2 weeks. What the fuck?
Yeah. Do you know, I've been getting a lot of pedantic bollocks from people lately. Whenever I say the word staycation, they go, oh no, a staycation is when you stay at home.
That's fucking, rubbish. Isn't. That's fucking
Do you get
rubbish.
This as well?
I've had that row.
These fucking
with
wankers,
loads of
right? They're going, oh no, it means you're staying at home. No, it doesn't. It means you're staying in Britain.
Yeah. That's a staycation.
So, I mean, I could go to Scotland and it's a staycation.
Yeah,
right?
I agree with you.
What happens if you get on a plane to go to Scotland? Is it still a staycation?
Yes, it is.
It's nothing to do with the mode of transport.
No. It's
What's
to
wrong
do,
with
it's
people?
To do with staying in your home
Have
country.
You found, I mean, because this is like me, you're a relatively...
I've had this round myself.
Yeah, but like me, you're a relative sort of newcomer to radio in the sense that we used to be in newspapers. Mm. In newspapers, we basically didn't give a fuck what people said or thought. We just ran the paper the way we wanted to run it. Yeah. If people wrote in, you remember people would ring up, go, I don't like what's on page one, fuck off. Yeah. And that you didn't care. Whereas now, you have to be much more interactive. You have to kind of take more time to answer people. You have to get on Twitter and all that. But there's an awful lot of pedants out there who are always trying to say things that you think you wouldn't actually bother writing down.
Yeah,
you know
I know. Yeah, and the staycation row is, they're wrong. You know, it's staying in this country.
It's like all these people that say things like, yeah, isn't it funny how all the conspiracy theorists have now been proved right? And actually I'm going, well, actually they're not being proved right because the conspiracy theorists said that we were all being run by the World Economic Forum and that we were all getting injected by Bill Gates and that actually it was all about control. Yeah. Well, actually... So that doesn't turn out to have been true, does it?
Exactly. If the World Economic Forum, what's that bloke called, Charles Schwartz or something?
Some Schwab or something.
Yeah, Charles Schwab. If they were involved in getting the Great Reset going, they're taking their fucking time, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. And also they keep resetting it. Carry out with the Great Reset. Yeah,
this
got a fucking holiday to take.
The shit reset. It's taking too fucking long.
That's actually right. It is the shit reset. Because every time some wanker from Europe starts going, remember Angela Merkel was going, no, you can't come to Germany on holiday, and we're all going, it's all right, we don't want to go to fucking
Germany. Who wants to go to fucking
Germany
on holiday?
So then she goes, right, I'll tell you what, you can't go to fucking Spain either. And we went, well, we quite like Spain, so why don't you fuck off? She comes here, but they don't even have that conversation.
Yeah.
So now not only is she not trying to stop us going to Spain or Italy or fucking Greece, she's now saying you can come to Germany.
Yeah. I mean, because she buckles every time, but she's been a bloody disaster.
She really has.
And she fucking...
And so has Macron.
They fucking hate us, don't they? They don't like the Brits.
No. I mean, all the things that are being made difficult, for example, like musicians going and playing in Europe, that's being made difficult by the EU.
Yeah.
Same with the fishing. Same with Northern Ireland. Same with all of the fucking stuff that they could make easier. I was talking to somebody the other day, right? They got a place in France. They take the dog. You know what's happened now with the pet passport scenario?
They don't work
you're
anymore.
You're only now allowed to take a dog to France every 4 months, right? So if you take the dog today and you say stay in your
house... You've got two dogs, you take the second dog. We'll be back in 4 months.
Yeah, we'll be back in 4 months.
Feed yourself.
So if you go there, say, for a month because you've got a house in Normandy or something, you come back, you then can't take the dog back for 4 months. That's fucking madness, right? Now, apparently there's a way around it. And the trick is, if you have got a place that you go on a regular basis, you get the vet in that country to give you the whatever the vaccine is that the dog needs to have. And then you're fine, because then you can go backwards and forwards.
Give him a rabies jab, that's all it is.
Yeah, that's basically it. But they don't now recognise the one that you've got in Britain unless you do it.
In other words, they've made it much more complicated. So
they've deliberately made it fucking difficult.
It's just outrageous. I mean, all that Merkel and Macron have ever wanted to do is to try to project the image that leaving the EU, their pathetic little sclerotic club, was the worst thing Britain ever did. And what's killing them, what's eating them up inside is it's quite obvious. It's the best thing we ever did.
Yeah, absolutely right. And look at the fucking mess that lots of parts of Europe are in, despite the fact that they claim they did better than we did during COVID. And in the end, nobody did.
Well, that's the fucking madness of, Merkel saying, oh, but look at all your Indian variant. Look at all the new cases you've got. That's because we are literally testing more,
Too many people
than Germany is. 10 times more. We're testing people on this obsessive basis. And therefore, of course, you get more cases.
Well, we were talking just on the last podcast about the Lambda variant, you know, which apparently originated in Peru.
Yeah.
And well, how the fuck did that get to Australia? I mean, who's going from Peru to Australia? And if Australia's properly locked down, how does that even happen?
Yeah, and also, you know, the fucking Delta variant or the Indian variant or whatever we're supposed to call it this week, what harm did it ever do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they kept saying it was more transmissible. But the only people, of course, who kept saying
who
that...
Who died from it?
The fucking... Well, they kept saying that the incidences are now much higher, that almost all the cases in this country are the Delta variant. Well, nobody cares.
Yeah,
who
no one's dying from it.
No.
You can't go around going, oh, my God, it's terrifying. People are getting a bit ill. That's it. That's what we're fucking saying.
Some people are going into hospital and coming out again.
By the way, you know, what about, you know, what was it, about a month ago that BBC and Sky News just full of, you know, all of India is dying.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, billions of people are lying there passing away and fading
dying
out
in the fatality.
Streets. Well, hey, didn't come to much, did it?
Yeah. Well, do you know, we did a little study into that. And do you know how many people, I think I'm right in saying this, I think the number of people who die in India every day, do you know how we've got a figure of like 1,500?
Yeah.
They've got 27,000.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
27,000.
Because they've got 1.4 billion people.
So when they had about 4,000 a day dying of COVID, it was nothing compared to the number of people that die of all sorts of things.
Per capita.
People die of fucking hunger.
Per capita.
In India.
Per capita, they had, India never had anything like the problem with COVID that we did.
No. No, of course
so
not.
So it was a confected fake news story.
Well, also, you could tell by the way that they pivoted to India when things were looking up here. And actually, they didn't have any shit news
to tell.
Which
is what the fucking Lambda variant.
Well, they
had
no bad news to tell here. So they went to India to tell the bad news. And then when India sort of started to recover, and they left it again, left it alone. Where's the fucking documentary about all the kids dying on the streets of India because they haven't got any food?
Yeah, I know.
Why don't we care about that?
Every virus has got an average of 330,000 variants. So if we're going to make a song and dance every time...
we name them all, then?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a long ride.
I'm not hot on ancient Greek. Is Lambda another ancient Greek letter? Because I presume it comes after Delta.
Or is it a place? I don't know.
I don't know.
Because if you name it after a place, you have to change it, don't you?
Lambada. Yeah, I thought, I mean, I know, but that's a fucking dance, isn't it? I remember that.
The Lambada variant. Start naming them after dances.
Yeah, why not?
The tango variant.
The foxtrot.
The military two-step variant.
Well, you know, we used to have a guy that worked at the Express who was called Charlie Uncle because he was such a cunt, right? that that's what everybody just... It was Charlie Uncle November Tango was his fucking nickname. So we, for short, people... And then as these things go, he ended up being called Charlie. And he, we couldn't figure. He's like, why do people fucking keep calling me Charlie? His name is Gordon, right? And he's like, why are they all calling me Charlie? I don't know.
There's a number of reasons you get called Charlie, I suppose.
Yeah, well, indeed. Absolutely did, right.
So remember that bloke at the Miracle, Brendan Parsons?
Oh, God, yes.
And his nickname was TCP.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't he the cunt Parsons.
Wasn't he the guy that originated the Achtung Surrender?
That was this sort of thing.
No, but I thought he'd actually been the guy
that would have been him, yeah, yeah.
Because Piers wasn't even there.
Yeah, that would have been
Piers was on Twitter recently, claiming that it was however many years ago since he'd done that particular.
It was in the 1990s, wasn't it? 96, something like that.
And it must
like
have
that.
Been before the Germany game.
96,
yeah.
Well, of course it was.
But he was sort of more or less...
They wanted to fly Spitfires over Buckingham Palace.
But, I mean, they also, though... Did they not? I mean, so previously, I mean, he certainly, I'm pretty sure he's told me that it wasn't even his front page. But so now he's admitting it.
It would be TCP. That's the sort of thing he did.
He was a right prick. I used to know him when he worked on the Today paper. And he owed me about 13 grand, which was quite a lot of money in those days. Because he's one of these guys who would ring up and go, oh, Mike, do you fancy checking out the story that's in People magazine this week about, you know, Tom Cruise, apparently he's got a new woman. Can you maybe see what you can do? And I said, well, what are you asking me to do?
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? You want me to go to LA? Oh, no, I don't want you to spend any great amount of money. I said, okay, so are you asking me to work on it for a few days? Would you like to pay me a day rate? In those days, I think it was $200 a day. Well, I'm not really sure. He said, why don't we see if we can put something together and see whether you can send me, you know, a couple of thousand words in a couple of days. And then if we get it in, you know, we'll see what we can do.
Well, how about you pay me for the work?
How about you go fuck yourself, Brendan? Yeah, that's exactly. Not how I work. So he would say things like, oh, you're just too lazy to do it, aren't you? And I'd be like, no, I've actually got other work to do, which I would have to stop doing if you wanted me to do your fucking work. So if you don't want to pay me, stick it up your ass.
Yeah.
But so over various... Periods.
This is why he was called that cunt Parsons.
Over various periods of time, he did commission me to do things, and so I would write stuff, because David Montgomery, who was the editor at the time at Today, was always ripping the paper up, going, this is rubbish, and we'd go, he'd ring me and go, have you got a quick spread? Yeah, like he would know, exactly. Yeah, he's now busy dismantling every fucking small media organisation around the world, because he thinks he's got a great idea, because he's from Northern Ireland, and he knows how to make it cheaper.
I know that.
He specialised in going into companies and fucking sacking people.
Well, yeah, raping them, basically. Yeah. Raping the companies.
He was the guy that came up with the idea in the Mirror that nobody should have any paper. Do you remember?
Yeah.
They thought he could save about $4 million a year by not using any paper.
Yeah, and this is before computers. Yeah. There was a bit of a problem there, you know.
So anyway, somehow he ended up owing me about 13 grand. So I went, you know, fuck this. I'm going to go to London. So I jumped on a plane. Arrived in his office at about 8 a.m. because you get the overnight flight. Yeah. And I just sat there and waited. He turned up about 10. And he's like, hello, Mike. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I'll cover my fucking money. He went, what money? I said, you owe me about 13 grand. I said, I'm not fucking leaving until you get a check for that amount, which I will put in the bank today, and then I'll go back to New York. If you want me to fucking be here tomorrow, I'll come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
I actually got the check out of him by about 1 o'clock. Went straight to Fleet Street because they were in, I think they were in Vauxhall Bridge Road in those days. Went straight to Fleet Street. Met a couple of mates in the... wine press, put the check in the bank, and got pissed for about 3 hours, and then went back to Heathrow and flew back to New York.
Very nice. Good, lucrative trip.
It was a very good day's work, that.
This is another bit of TCP, that cunt Parsons legend.
He's kind of... Did he not retire in some way?
Well, yeah, because...
He became ill or something.
Well, he got the editorship of The People.
That's right.
And it was all too much for him, and he disappeared very quickly and was never to be heard of again. But anyway, when it was on The Mirror, do you remember that headmaster that got stabbed to death outside the school?
And, in Maida Vale or something.
So The Mirror... went hell for leather on that, and they kind of organised a knife amnesty, bring your knives in and all this, and they got they were working towards getting a big interview with a heartbroken wife of the headmaster, and she was very impressed by what The Mirror was doing, and it was all coming along nicely, the relationship with this bereaved widow, and Piers had put Brendan in charge of it. And he suddenly gets in touch with her and said, we've had a brilliant idea. She said, what's that? All the knives that have been handed down, we're going to melt them down and then form them into a statue of your husband. She put the phone down and they never heard from her again.
I mean, it is like
that's why he was TCP.
It is like drop the dead donkey, some of that stuff, isn't it? Where you go, that's not really a very good idea. It really isn't.
No.
Various other ideas included dropping apples, didn't it, over the rooftops of Paris when there was some kind of fucking dispute. Whoa. I can't remember whether it was a talk sport or a sun project, but yeah. It was basically in the days.
The sun was always invading.
Yeah, they were always invading France. With page three girls and stuff like that. But this was something to do with the whole idea of the old the apples being dropped because they were having some dispute about fucking apples and they wouldn't allow English coxes to be sent over. And it was all going really well to the point where they'd hired a plane, they were going to drop them all out of the plane until somebody pointed out that actually you might kill people with them because you're dropping them from fucking 10,000 feet onto the streets of Paris.
Yeah, exactly right.
They're all going to die.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, fucking kill
Christ,
a load of people.
Really? And nobody had thought of that.
How did it go? Really well. We killed 17 people.
Absolutely right.
But those newspaper ideas, you know, when you get to be a newspaper executive and people are putting ideas to you, you must really, really think them through.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you a story way back when I was first on Fleet Street on the Sunday People, a woman called Ellen Petrie that went on to marry Derek Jameson.
Oh, yeah.
So she was a reporter and on the People, and they had this idea that it was a good idea in a way, but you have to be careful with these things. And it was leap year, so the one day of the year when women can propose to men.
April 29th, yeah.
So she was given the task, find yourself, five or six powerful men and work out a way where you can go and confront them and say, would you marry me?
Right.
And one of them, so she came up with one of the victims or the subjects of her piece was to be Prince Charles. So she found out where he was going to open some library or somewhere. There's a big crowd there. And he comes to sort of shake a few hands and say hello to the crowd. And she leapt out from the crowd on past the security barriers and just about said, Prince Charles, would you marry me? And at that point, 17 security coppers burst on top of her.
The Royal Protection
there were guns
squad.
Drawn.
Oh, God.
She was arrested, taken to the fucking news editor going, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, nobody actually thought of that. They didn't actually think.
No. You've got to think these things through. There's loads and loads of papers have great ideas.
We'll do lots of these kind of stories, I think, over time, because a lot of people have said that we should do two a week of these, and we're going to try.
I got another great fucking shit idea that didn't work out. This is back when the Yorkshire Ripper had not yet been caught.
Oh, yeah.
Again, this is on the Sunday People. And in those days, that paper was selling 4 million.
It was
a proper
Sunday paper, wasn't it?
Big operation.
Was Laurie Manifold there?
Yeah, he worked there.
Because I knew a guy that worked for him.
The editor then was a guy called Jeff Pinnington, who used to be on the Mirror, and it was a very successful paper, loads of money, and.
When you sell 4 million copies, you tend to have quite a lot of cash.
We were buying stories every week for 50 grand, 100 grand. It was all court case buy-ups and everything.
Right.
Yeah, I used to go down to courtrooms and to get all the barristers of people and say, "We'd like to buy your client," and they go, "Well, I'm not sure in the market." I said, "Well, put it this way: why don't you tell her there's 50 grand in it, and maybe you could just say 45, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You keep the... Oh, right, I'll be with you. She get every time, every time.
Yes, those lovely ethical barristers.
Yeah, barristers, you can always put a fiver in their back pocket. Anyway, they have this idea because the Yorkshire Ripper is that they haven't caught him, you know, in this terrible scourge up in Bradford, wasn't it, in Leeds and around there. They had this reporter... bloody good reporter, but a hell of a piss artist called Sian Davis.
Oh, yeah.
And she was just notorious drunk, always pissed as a rat down in the stab and all that. And so one of the executives in conference said to her, right, have a great idea. I'm going to send Sian Davis up to Bradford, you know, and say, Our girl walks the streets of fear.
Oh, for God's sake.
And one of the other executives said, is that fair to the Ripper?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And, of course, a lot of people don't understand the black humour of the newsroom. By the way, can I just mention, before we talk about holidays, this just came to my attention, which I should have spotted earlier. Have you seen the fucking story from the BBC this week about the salary cuts that have been taken?
Yeah. Saving
money. Should we give a special mention to Zoe Ball, right?
Yeah.
Who's apparently taken a voluntary pay cut of £380,000.
Which will take her down to $1 million or something?
Yeah, takes her down to something more approaching $980,000.
Yeah, and
Christ alive.
And the reason they gave her a pay rise last time round was so that she could earn more than Gary Lineker.
Yes.
And so they looked like more of a kind of inclusive organisation where women can earn the big bucks. Anyway,
but
she's got...
I'm afraid that's backfired
now. He's now top earner again on 1.36,
that's unbelievable, though, isn't it? He's still on 1.36 million a year.
Yeah. And this comes in the same week that they spent $50,000 not redesigning their logo.
That's another thing that fucking pissed me off, right? Because all these wankers were sort of defending the BBC, going, oh, look, the right wing is having to go at the BBC because they want it shut down. Well, and they didn't deny the fact that it was costing $50,000. What they liked was the fact that this was the beginning and the end of a long process by which the BBC has had to change the font because it cost it lots of money to keep the old font. I'm going...
Keep the old font. It doesn't look any fucking different.
It looks exactly the same. They just spaced it out a bit.
So that's saving money BBC style.
Yes.
You know, oh, we've taken...
Spend 50 grand.
We've taken 10% off some of the bigger earning stars. Oh, we just wasted 50 grand on this absolute pile of shit.
A 300...
Those people have got no financial acumen whatsoever because they don't have the... They don't have the commercial imperative.
£380,000 pay cut.
Yeah.
I mean...
3.5 billion quid a year we give that out.
Incredible. Fucking unbelievable.
Well, I don't want the BBC to end. I just want it to pay for itself.
Well, I just want it to be more fucking responsible.
But I want it to be a commercial outfit.
Yeah.
Pay for yourself. Make programmes people want to watch and make money out of it.
Yeah, which should be not that difficult.
Yeah, and by the way...
We happen to be in the centre of one of the greatest creative countries in the world.
Yeah.
You know, we've got some great actors, we've got some fantastic journalists, we've got some really good fucking musicians. Why the fuck are they making such a dog's arse of
it? And if the BBC doesn't like the idea of paying for itself, it better fucking well get used to it, because it's going to fucking have to pretty soon.
Absolutely right. Now, since you're technically away on holiday, I thought I'd ask you about some funny holiday experiences that you might have had, because people will be looking forward to hearing some of those.
Well, ahead of my no doubt dreadful experiences in the West Country, I'll tell you that this is the worst holiday nightmare I ever had. I was with my wife, Henrietta, and we went to Morocco. And we went to Marrakesh, stayed there for a week. And then we got a car and we drove down towards the Sahara across the Atlas Mountains.
Okay.
And the further south you get, so if you're in Marrakesh or Casablanca or certainly up in Tangier around there, this is the sort of sophisticated north.
Yeah.
And the restaurants and the riads are bloody amazing. Mm. You know, real luxury. Mm. Food's fantastic. You know, so it's not much of a culture shock, except it's suddenly you're like in a kind of very exotic kind of Arab land. Yeah. But it's very luxurious.
Like Edgware Road.
Exactly right. Exactly. It's not that exotic.
No.
Anyway...
NW1.
So as you drive south, it gets more and more third world.
Okay.
Although you're not allowed to say third world.
No,
developing country.
Developing world.
Third world it is. Then the more third world, it gets more and more third worldy. The food gets a bit shit and the hotels are crap and so on and so forth.
But is that a place where you see the goats in the trees?
No, that's a place called Esseria. That's over on the west coast.
Right.
That's where Jimi Hendrix was inspired to make Castles in the Sky.
Oh, really?
You can see this castle down the beach and there's this mist.
Okay.
And it looks like the castles in the sky. Mm. So Bob Dylan, Hendrix, all that used to go. Right. Essaouira is great. But you know, we were going south, right?
Yeah.
And so we end up in this town called Ouarzazate. Right?
Ouarzazate.
Ouarzazate. And it's in the middle of fucking nowhere. And it really is like fucking hell, right. Man. You know, tribe land kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But we got quite a nice hotel with a swimming pool and all that. Food wasn't very good, but it was relatively sort of two-star-ish,
right.
Which is better than most around there. Anyway, it was, you know, the weather's like fucking boiling. So the sun's just coming down. And I said to Henry, oh, there's a sort of souk market down there. Why don't we go for a lovely early evening stroll?
Yeah.
She said, yeah, and the streets are sort of teeming and there's markets and, yeah, it's quite nice and atmospheric.
Yes.
And very
well, it's nice when you go somewhere where you know you're in a different culture.
Yeah, very, very right. different culture, very African, Moroccan, you know. Anyway, so we're walking down this pavement and it's like, oh, look at that. Oh, look what they're selling there. And I said, oh, yeah, look, we've got to go and get some of those amazing figs and dates that they're selling there. And so we're walking along, the two of us, and suddenly I just hear this, boom! And suddenly I'm walking completely on my own.
Right.
And I look to my left where my wife had just been. And you know those paving stones that they put down and they have those iron sort of little holders?
Oh, yeah.
That's what they use to place paving stones.
Yes.
Well, in places like Morocco, they don't. You're supposed to pull them out after, but they don't bother.
Right.
So the pavements are full of all these fucking sort of booby traps.
Right.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So she wasn't watching. So she puts her foot into one of them, goes down like a fucking stack of cards, like boom, and puts both her fucking arms out.
Right.
And I pull her up, and she goes, "Oh, okay, you're all right." She said, "Yeah, I think so. I think I'm okay." And we carried on walking for a bit, and then she says, "Christ, my fucking arms don't hurt." Anyway, to cut a long story short, she put both her arms out to break her fall and broke them both.
Hey, what, wrists or arms?
The whole arms.
Oh, God.
So we had this fucking one night in the hotel where she, you know, was in agony.
Mm.
So I go down the hotel, so I got to get some strong painkillers. Yeah. And doctor, oh, well, you know, the manager goes, "You won't get any doctors here." He said, I said, "Well, where's the local hospital?" He said, "We haven't got one." I said, "Well, that's good." She said, he said, the best you can do in Morocco is soluble Dispirins.
Yeah.
I said, "Can't do any better than that?" He said, "No, that's all you can get in Morocco." So I get a load of
I'm sure that's not entirely true.
Well,
there are other things which you could have used to dull the pain.
You can't start taking drugs for a broken arm.
Not very good
Smoke
idea.
Smoke a joint or something. Anyway, So we get up early in the morning, by which time she's in fucking agony. Okay, I said to her, "Will you stop moaning? I'm trying to have a fucking holiday."
For God's sake, woman.
I said, "You're ruining my fucking..."
I'm sure you're having a backbone.
You're ruining my holiday. So to drive her
across... Poor girl.
Yeah, to drive her across... So the manager said... I said, "Where's the nearest hospital?" He said, "Just get her back to Marrakesh."
Mm.
He said, "Don't stop anywhere else." Right. He said, "All the other hospitals will be shit." So halfway back, I have to stop and stock up with more soluble Dispirins in these really weird hill villages in the middle of the Atlas Mountains.
Right.
And she's going,
"And what do they speak there? Is it French?"
Well, yes, it's sweet, but they've also got an Arab language as well. So it's this kind of weird hybrid language. I mean, they're actually very nice people, very hospitable.
Yeah, yeah.
And they couldn't do enough for you. Please have these... Dispirins, lots of Dispirins, you know. I said, "Well, it's not really the standard treatment for two broken arms.
Yeah.
So she's knocking these back.
About a sling?
I says, "How the Dispirins work?" And she said, "Not too good, actually." They're supposed to be for slight headaches.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway,
right.
I get her back to Marrakesh and we found the sort of rehab we were staying at. And I said to the guy, "You know, I've got to get her into it." He said, "Well, you need to go to the American hospital." So I take her straight to the American hospital, which compared with... elsewhere in Morocco was a kind of jet set place, but it was still a shithole. And so this doctor comes out and goes, "You got to do something for it." He said, "We must drain the blood." I I said, what's all about drain the blood? She needs like a plaster cast or something. No, drain the blood.
Right.
And so what it is, a technique apparently, you drain all the blood from the arm.
Okay.
And that encourages the bones to start setting.
Okay.
So they did all that. And so Henrietta's going,
how much blood did they drain out of
it? Well, it's just quite a lot.
Right.
And so I sort of looked it up on the computer, on my phone, to see if it was a technique. Mm. And it was.
Yeah.
I said, well, they do it. And so Henrietta's going, I'm not sure about this. And so I said to this doctor, I said, can't you do something else? You know, can't you get put a fucking plaster on or something? You know, like they do in the West and all that. And he got all pissed off because he's acting like I'm treating him like a third world backward dog.
Yeah.
Please, this is the technique. If you don't like it, leave. And I'm going.
Thanks a lot.
So
that's even worse than the NHS.
So I have to go, Henrietta, I think you better do it. She goes, okay. And so she has it done.
Poor girl.
And then they put all these, they sort of put two slings on her arm. So she goes back. She's got no ability to move at all.
So can't even eat.
Yeah, she can't eat nothing.
Presumably.
Yeah. And I said, well, now you've had all that done, you stop moaning and I'll get on the holiday.
But we only had a couple
more nights to go. And she said, can't we go back early?
That's
awful, said, no, it'll cost too much money.
So did she end up having to get it fixed back in England?
Well, so we did two more nights. And they gave us some decent painkillers, so it wasn't too bad after that.
That's horrendous, though.
And then we flew back, and she went straight to St Mary's Hospital to see some, you know, top British doctors. And the doctor said, "Well, what they've done is," he said, "it's something that we stopped doing here about 10 years ago, but it's a valid technique."
Well, it's those leeches. I mean, you go to some places, they put leeches on you.
Yeah, all that shit. Anyway, so. So they will leave it like that now. But for a long time after that, the doctor said, your arms are probably going to be bent. So they're not bent arms.
Bent arms?
Yeah.
I'll have to check their arms out the next time I see it.
But they were a bit, but they kept sort of giving us straightening splints and things that. And over the period of about a year,
really bad injury.
Yeah,
It must have taken a long time for it to recover.
Yeah, it was a one place where you don't want to break two arms.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, fucking bad.
Yeah, funnily enough, talking about holidays, I was going to mention the. Do you remember that time we went to the south of France? For Tim and Wendy.
Oh, yeah.
And we stayed in a hotel. I don't know whether you stayed in the same one. Remember you guys had lunch with us?
Yeah, of course.
The day before the sort of the big party. Mm. And we stayed in this hotel, which was run by this slightly eccentric Frenchman. And I became obsessed because we went to the party and my sister was there and her husband at the time. And it was about time we decided to try and leave. And we couldn't get taxis for some fucking reason.
Yeah.
It was quite a long way back. And instead of the local taxi company being helpful, they were completely unfucking helpful because it was the south of France and we were British, right? So I remember ringing the hotel to get this guy to see if he could organise some taxis for us, and he refused. Point blank fucking refused. No, this is not what they do. I said, well, look, we're staying in your hotel, there's about 10 of us.
French
we're giving
service.
You a lot of fucking money. Would you mind ordering us some fucking taxis? You fucking, and by this time I was quite pissed. I was, you fucking French prick, you know.
Yeah, no, he's just been to lunch with me.
And of course, this was after the party.
Okay,
anyway, so we eventually somehow managed to get back, right? And we got back and it was like after midnight and everybody started arriving in dribs and drabs and the bar was shut, right, in this hotel. So we kind of somehow managed to rouse this guy out of whatever slumber he was in. Mm-hmm. And we said, can we have the bar open, please? No, you're going to have the bar open. And we said, well, we'll put it on an honor bar system if you want. You don't have to serve us, but we just want to be able to have a drink. And it just sort of escalated into this ridiculous row where he basically said, is you English, all you want to do is drink. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with that? And you want to fucking sell it to us? That would be fine. And eventually it sort of completely dissolved and disintegrated into a shouting match where I was literally shouting, yeah, fucking remember Agincourt, you fucking wanker, you know. And he was going, you fucking stinking
coward,
you fucking stinking.
Coward.
It was so funny.
Yeah, useless in a war.
We all woke up in the morning and it was all a bit kind of like,
yeah,
it's a bit awkward. But I mean, it's fucking hilarious. Some of the stuff that happens on holiday. I mean, Jesus Christ, we may have to do one of these again because we've barely told any actual holiday stories, and it's nearly time for us to stop.
And we're doing a pubcast.
Well, the pubcast by now has been done. By the time you listen to this, we've already done that. We don't know yet whether it's
mentally preparing
going to be
it.
Out. But
I want the listeners to know I'm mentally preparing.
Prepare for it because we will be doing it very, very soon, and we hope to do more of them as well.
Indeed.
Which basically means Kevin and I drinking, swearing, on video.
Yeah, but not to undermine the entire operation. Me having to be slightly careful about drinking because I'm on the air a little bit later.
Maybe we'll get the wanking monkey on.
The wanking monkey. I love that idea. That the wanking zoo. Just an animal, just a fucking zoo full of animals masturbating.
Right. It'd be tremendous. It'd absolutely be brilliant. Right. Anyway, on that note, we shall see you next week with the Thought Police. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Do you know, I've been getting a lot of pedantic bollocks from people lately. Whenever I say the word staycation, they go, oh no, a staycation is when you stay at home.
That's fucking rubbish. That's fucking rubbish.
Do you get this as well?
I've had that round.
These fucking wankers, right? They go, no, no, it means you're staying at home. No, it doesn't. It means you're staying in Britain.
Staying in Britain, yeah. That's a staycation.
So, I mean, I could go to Scotland and it's a staycation.
Yeah,
right?
I agree with you.
What happens if you get on a plane to go to Scotland? Is it still a staycation?
Yes, it is.
Nothing to do with the mode of transport.
No.
What's wrong with
it? It's to do with staying in your home.
Have you found, I mean, because this is like me, you're a relatively...
I've had this round myself.
Yeah, but like me, you're a relative sort of newcomer to radio in the sense that we used to be in newspapers. And in newspapers, we basically didn't give a fuck what people said or thought. We just ran the paper the way we wanted to run it. Yeah. People wrote in, or even people would ring up and go, I don't like what's on page one, fuck off. Yeah. And that you didn't care.
So she wasn't watching. So she puts her foot into one of them, goes down like a fucking stack of cards, like boom, and puts both her fucking arms out.
Right.
And I pull her up, and she goes, oh, I go, you all right? She said, yeah, I think so. I think I'm okay. And we carried on walking for a bit, and then she says, Christ, my fucking arms don't hurt. I've hurt. Anyway, to cut a long story short, she put both her arms out to break her fall. And broke them both.
Hey, what, wrists or arms?
The whole arms.
Oh, God.
So we had this one night in the hotel where she was in agony. Mm. So I go down the hotel and say, I've got to get some strong painkillers. Yeah. A doctor. Oh, well, the manager goes, you won't get any doctors here. He said, I said, well, where's the local hospital? She said, we haven't got one. So that's good.
Do you know, we used to have a guy that worked at the Express. Who was called Charlie Uncle because he was such a cunt, right? That's what everybody just... It was Charlie Uncle November Tango was his fucking nickname.